Tempo da Repeta na Presentation, April 30th, 1978, live on the NEP.
From Negative Land, and you're tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Listener-sponsored community radio.
The show is about to begin.
How do you want me? The time is 11 p.m., and you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.
The show is about to begin. You're about to witness the ultimate miracle.
Breathe. Actors in position.
The sound of words.
Music out.
Laughing at the breeze.
We are all on stage. The show is about to begin.
I think I'm hard.
No, you're not. It's just that sometimes you don't consider other people's feelings.
No. I'm getting hard. Feel that.
The show is about to begin.
Let's really fuck.
Crazy.
No, it isn't. Crazy. It'll be so real. Trust me.
Cut it out, Mike. I'm serious, Mike.
Don't call him Mike. Call me Mel. Mel.
Get off.
The show is about to begin.
Get off. Ed?
Why?
What are you doing here?
I just need you to tell me why.
Take it easy, Ed. Take it easy. I know this is hard.
The show is about to begin.
Shut up!
Don't do anything stupid.
Hey! Eddie, please!
The show is about to begin.
Shit, the cops. Better pull over. Did I forget to signal on that last lane change?
Hello, sir. We're the Texas Highway Patrol, and the reason for your stop is because you have Vermont plates.
Vermont plates?
Do you have your driver's license and registration with you? How long have you been in Texas?
I just got here.
Okay, where are you headed to now?
I'm visiting friends at the university.
Your driver's license, please. Give me a few minutes. Okay, sir. You okay?
Just a little nervous.
Nervous? I don't know. You seem irritated to me. Very, really irritated.
I'm not irritated. Just confused, I guess. Why would you stop me for having Vermont plates? I'm from Vermont. The car's registered in Vermont. Those are legal license plates.
Are you done?
I mean no disrespect, officer. I know you're just doing your job, but I don't understand why I was pulled over.
This is Texas, sir, not Vermont.
I'm aware of that.
We don't like your kind here.
My kind?
Vermont has a GMO labeling law. Am I wrong?
No, that's correct. We passed a GMO labeling law last year, by popular vote.
This is Texas. No one tells us what to eat here. We happen to like our genetically modified organisms.
It's just a labeling law, officer. So people know what's in the food they're buying. You can eat whatever you like.
Now you seem very, very, really irritated.
No, still not irritated. Just a little frustrated.
You mind taking off your pants, please, if you don't mind?
I'm in my car. I can't take off my pants.
Well, then you can step out of the car and take them off.
Are you serious?
Step out of the car.
Why
step
am I...
Step out of the car. Step out of the car.
But...
Step out or I will remove you. I'm giving you a lawful order.
But, officer...
I will light you up. Get out. Now.
Is that a taser?
I'm going to yank you out of there.
You're going to yank me out of my car for having Vermont plates?
2547 County FM 1098. Send me another unit. Get out of the car. Get out of the car now.
Okay. I'm getting out.
Now take off your pants.
Why? I'm not going to take off my pants.
Now take off your pants. I said take off your pants, sir, if you please. Now.
I don't please.
Take them off right now. I'm giving you a lawful order.
Okay. I'm taking off my pants. I have no idea why.
Stand right here. No, stand right there.
I'm standing right there, and my pants are off. Happy now?
You are under arrest. Turn around.
But...
Turn around. Turn around now. Put your hands behind your back.
Why am I being arrested?
I'm giving you a lawful order. Turn around.
Why can't
you... Turn around.
Why won't you tell me that part?
You are not complying.
I'm not complying because you pulled me out of my car and made me take off my pants.
I will tell you. Turn around. Put your hands behind your back.
Now can you tell me? Why am I under arrest?
You were getting a warning until now. You're going to jail.
Jail? For what? For having Vermont plates?
Well, that and indecent exposure.
I don't believe this. This is like some bad dream.
You need to leave. Okay, sir, you're under arrest. You're going to be transported to the Waller County Jail. Okay? All right. And one more thing. Take this.
What's that?
It's a plastic garbage bag. You just might need it.
Ha! You might just need it. That's telling the little prick.
Dear, wake up. Are you all right?
What? Huh? Oh, yeah, I'm all right. Never felt better.
I was a little worried all that celebration last night. You might have had a little too much Roundup.
Too much Roundup? Nah, it's perfectly safe for human consumption. Just having a dream is all. And what a beautiful dream.
Well, it's time to wake up, dear. You'll be late for work.
You're right. They're touchy about that at corporate headquarters. It's not like I was back at the FDA.
You shower and dress. I'll get your breakfast ready.
Yeah, Starbucks coffee and a heaping plate of genetically modified bacon and eggs. Hair of the dog that bit you, eh?
Only best for you, dear.
I love this company. Ah, country.
Monsanto Dreams was written and produced for radio by Ken Jones and features Larry Andrews, Grace Marion, George Anheuser-Busch, and a non-GMO Project Verified, Rolf Semperbon. Good night and sweet dreams.
A blue X across a red background. 13 stars, placed 3 along each shaft of the X, and the 13th in the center. This is called the Confederate flag, or more properly, the Confederate battle flag.
Take the damn thing down.
It's a symbol of hate.
No siree, it's our Southern pride flag. It's our heritage.
The word heritage has the letters H, A, T, and E.
Heritage, hate, rage.
Up next, we'll talk about the Confederate flag. As a point of fact, there were many flags associated with the Confederate States of America.
The first official flag, known as the Stars and Bars, had 3 horizontal stripes, red, white, and red. And in the same place where the American flag has stars on a blue background, it had 13 stars on a blue background.
This flag was hated by much of the Confederacy because it looked too much like a cheap imitation of the United States flag, the flag of their enemy.
Unfortunately, during the heat of battle, this flag and the Yankee flag were hard to tell apart, leading to confusion among the warring sides of the Civil War, where people didn't know who was friend and who was foe.
A new design had a mostly white flag with a familiar Confederate flag symbol in one corner. William T. Thompson, the flag's designer, called it the white man's flag because all that white on the flag symbolized the supremacy of the white man.
To quote from William T. Thompson, "As a people, we are fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the inferior or colored race. A white flag would thus be emblematic of our cause."
This flag was yet another disaster. Because it was mostly white, unless fully unfurled, it appeared to be all white, so it looked like a flag of truce or surrender. Also, the flag got dirty too easily.
A third Confederate national flag added a red bar to the edge of the white man's flag. This flag, known as the Bloodstained Banner, was barely in production when the South lost the war.
And South did lose the war, in spite of what some people think. So suck on it, you racist assholes. The South lost the war.
And yet they still want to wave around their flag of racist hatred. They can't admit they've lost.
It's not about hate. It's about the sacrifice our ancestors made on behalf of states' rights.
States' rights? You mean the right of some people to treat other people like property? That was the only state right they were fighting for.
The Confederacy fought a war to retain the spirit of the American Constitution. It was a war against big government intrusion and tyranny against the rights of the common people. It was a war between our Orthodox Christian values and the Union's heresy.
Our forefathers were fighting against a federal government that wanted to steal our property, just like the founders of the country fought the British.
We can't let our ideals be destroyed. The flag represents the heritage of our ancestors who stood up to central government for their rights. It was a war to save the United States. We are the true Americans here. That's why this flag is so important to our culture and heritage.
This flag allows us to never forget our history.
Wait, let's step back a moment. The flag these people are yammering about? The Confederate flag? It was never even an official flag of the Confederacy.
It's not even the correct battle flag used by General Lee. The battle flag was actually a square shape, while most of the Confederate flag symbols seen today are rectangular.
Rectangular. That's what
you're there was a naval flag that the Confederates used that looked similar to the current Confederate flag, but even this one has a much lighter blue on the X.
So, really, this particular flag is clearly not about history or heritage, unless you are talking about the history of the KKK and other hate groups who would use this symbol later.
But it's our heritage. That flag represents our ancestors who fought a war of aggression, our southern pride.
Pride? Maybe instead you should be embarrassed. Your ancestors were fighting to defend a way of life that represents some of the very worst of American history.
They want to take away our flags so that people will forget our history. It's not about racism at all.
Seems like you've already forgotten your history if you claim it's not about racism and slavery.
We aren't racist. I don't even use the N-word when I refer to those thugs.
What? You use the N-word all the time at home.
No.
That's in the privacy of my own home. If one can't have free speech in the privacy of one's own home, then what is this nation coming to? But that don't mean I'm racist.
That's what this flag is about. Free speech. No gun control. Protecting our freedoms from the savages.
We need this flag more than ever. Now that our fundamental Christian beliefs are under assault by a homosexual marriage and a Muslim president.
The flag is a symbol. It represents the rotted underbelly of the American dream, the plantation culture of the Deep South, lynchings and cross burnings, hate and fear.
They want to cling to this symbol. They do not want racism to die in this country. They want to clutch to this sick and vile legacy and keep alive this evil system of repression.
Striker, Black Striker!
Domestic terrorist Dylan Roof knew the meaning of the flag when he walked into the Emmanuel AME church to commit 9 acts of murder.
The terrorists, who within weeks set fire to several other black churches, they know the meaning of the flag.
Even if they don't put on a white robe and hood, their support of the flag empowers those who do.
They are stuck in an evil past, and they can't even see how evil it is.
Ignorance is bliss, but only for the ignorant.
The power of symbols cannot be denied.
As a symbol, the Confederate flag is not much different than the swastika. In fact, a lot of these races will have both.
They want this nation to be mired in its racist past. They won't give up on their own racism, and they want to hide behind this symbol.
Because when they see all the others with the flag, they know they are not alone. They know that multitudes of others are on their side and share their racist beliefs.
They have Fox News and right-wing talk show hosts to reinforce with coded words their vile hatred, throwing red meat to keep the hate alive.
Fear us. The South will rise again. Get back in your place, inferior race.
That is what this flag is telling you.
It is the flag of traitors, and yet they are so fucking ignorant, they think they are patriots.
So why the fuck do we have the this Confederate flag in the studio?
This is sacrilege. Give us that flag.
I thought we'd all urinate and defecate on it.
Not in the studio. Let's burn the damn thing instead.
I've got a lighter. Here it goes.
We have to stop them. They're burning our flag.
They're mocking our proud Southern heritage.
Maybe we should take it out to the parking lot?
Too late for that. There it goes. Burn, baby, burn!
That went up fast.
Someone doused it in lighter fluid.
For all the listeners out there, the Confederate flag has been lit on fire in the KBOO studio, and a big cheer goes up among the participants.
Woo! Yay! Woo!
Burn, baby, burn!
Oh, yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! Woo! Yeehaw! Kill the fuckers! They're destroying our flag!
They might have all the education and fancy words, but we have the guns.
Damn right!
Let's start the next Civil War, my friends. Dylan Roof is a patriotic martyr. Let's shoot us some flag desecrators. Let's kill those nigger lovers.
Yeah, let's do it!
Oh, fuck. You idiots just set the studio on fire.
I can't put it out. It's too big.
Then you bring your firearms. I left mine in the truck.
I told you to bring it with you. Why don't you have it?
You left all your weapons at the house.
Neither one of you brought a gun. I'll have to do it myself. Too much smoke to aim. Fuck! Those rednecks are armed!
Keep low!
We gotta get out of here!
Ah!
Oh, fuck! I'm hit!
Shit! He's been hit by his own bullet ricochet!
Fuck it, we need to get out of here.
The fire's out of control!
Help!
Help!
Oh, no!
Confederate Withered Flag, written by Rolf and performed by...
Larry.
Kristen.
Colonel Sanders.
Rolf.
Galen.
No. Larry.
Larry.
And now, up next we'll bring you...
Larry.
Larry.
Okay.
It's a dangerous city.
Do I have to say nay?
No, you don't have to. Is that enough there?
Besides, you just said it, so I can,
I can give the one who said it.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to give my name at the end.
I'm thinking of a good Larry.
Hey, Doug, wasn't that
fault? There's no way out of this.
No way out of this.
To the city at dusk. The old hotel is still there, almost lost among the sleek and shiny towers that have sprouted up everywhere in the city in the decade and a half ago since my last visit. I step out of the car and I enter the lobby.
Mr. Gray, you're back.
You remember me?
I never forget. You want a room?
Uh-huh. Sixth floor.
It's been some time. A few years.
More than a few.
What brings you back to Port City? Business or pleasure?
I don't believe in pleasure.
Ah, you are here for a purpose. And what sort of business brings you back to Port City?
I am not at liberty to say. Now, where's that key?
Here you are. Room 619, Mr. Gray. Do you have any bags?
No, just this suitcase. But I can handle it.
Very well then, Mr. Gray. It's a pleasure to see you again. Or, since you do not believe in pleasure, I should say it's a business to see you again. You know the way to the elevator.
Hello.
Hello, Violet.
That man who just checked in, is his name Mr. Gray?
Yes.
And he's been here before?
A long time ago, a decade and a half.
So he doesn't live here anymore?
No.
What brings him back to Port City?
He didn't say.
He didn't say. He doesn't want anyone to know.
It's none of your business.
But I might make it my pleasure.
Mr. Gray doesn't believe in pleasure.
He doesn't need to believe in anything. But he did come to Port City for a reason.
There is a reason for everything, I should think.
I should think not. Did you say he was in room 619?
I didn't tell you that. You overheard me tell him that.
Then it's public knowledge.
And then she walks to the elevator. What did she mean? There is not a reason for everything. When one stops believing in the irrational floods over, overwhelming with possibilities, and one loses one's way. An ocean of chaos, an ocean of possibilities.
Like the oceans will overwhelm the coast when the ice melts. The irrationality of our civilization, is that what you're thinking?
I was just thinking to myself, bellhop.
And your thoughts are words.
Enough of that, bellhop. You need to take this envelope to Mr. White in room 555.
He hands me a large envelope sealed with candle wax. A minute later, Mr. White answers the door and takes the envelope from my hand. And without a word, shuts the door.
Okay.
What is it, dear?
Nothing. The bellhop brought me an envelope.
The envelope is not important. Open it up. Let's see what's inside.
I know what's inside. A name.
A name? Whose name?
That I do not know. I don't know if I want to know. It could be one of many. From the past, my dear Scarlet. We never seem to be able to escape the past. It always comes back to the surface, no matter how we try to drown it.
Well, maybe if you'd been a better person in the past, you wouldn't need to escape it.
If you don't escape the past, you become stuck in it. And then you never change. If you don't change, the changing world will leave you behind.
It's etched into your face. All the hate, all the anger. Reminds me of an advertisement I saw the other day. One of those right-wing talk show bullies, Lars Larson, he was pushing timeshares. And his face, I barely recognized it. All that hate and anger, it was now on his face. Why would anyone buy a timeshare from this mean, hateful face?
I need to go talk to Mr. Black. Get out of the room. Where are you going?
You said to leave.
No, I want you to go into the bedroom and wait for me.
I need to breathe. These rooms are stifling.
Come back here. Come back here, damn you. One cannot trust anyone in this world. We are each alone in the universe, in our heads. Maybe I will have her killed. But first, this envelope. I need to talk to Mr. Black. Mr. Black, I received an envelope today.
I would have presumed so. A certain Mr. Gray has arrived back into town.
Mr. Gray? I thought he was dead.
No, not yet at least.
It may not mean anything, Mr. Gray's arrival. One should not jump to conclusions.
No, of course not. You really thought he was dead?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I thought of him at all.
Wishful thinking, perhaps. And now he's here.
Yes, he's there.
What do you mean by that? Are you out of town?
No, same place. I meant what I said. He's there.
Here? In the hotel?
Should I say it a third time? Yes, in that hotel, to be a little more certain. One floor above your own.
This is fucked! I don't know what is worse, the fact that Mr. Gray is here, or the fact that you knew he was here before I knew.
I'm sure you can sort it out in your head. Did you look in the envelope? Was it his name, Mr. Gray?
I don't know if I need to know. I don't even know if I need to now, knowing what I know.
Knowing what you think you know. No one really knows anything for sure. The truth is liquid, filling in the spaces in each of our brains where we let it, so that each one of us has our own truth.
That's a scary thought. Like the floor is quicksand. Like nothing is real except in our head. And not even that is real to anyone else but ourselves.
It's only real because of our perceptions of real. And our perceptions are filtered through our minds, filtered by our memories, experiences, beliefs.
As if our perceptions are a sham. As if reality were an illusion. So there is no real truth.
Fall into the madness of religion or narcissism. Now I must go.
But what should I... Hello? Damn, he's hung up his phone.
Knowing what you think you know. No one really knows anything for sure. The truth is liquid, filling in the spaces in each of our brains where we let it, so that each one of us has our own truth.
That's a scary thought. Like the floor is quicksand. Like nothing is real except in our head. And not even that is real to anyone else but ourselves.
It's only real because of our perceptions of real. And our perceptions are filtered through our minds, filtered by our memories, experiences, beliefs.
As if our perceptions are a sham, as if reality were an illusion, so there is no real truth.
To think truth is ultimate is to fall into the madness of religion or narcissism. Now I must go.
Who is that?
Mr. White.
Did he receive an envelope?
An envelope? You know about that, Olive?
I only ask because this appeared under the door a few minutes ago.
She holds up a large manila envelope. I can't suppress the stunned look on my face, and I grab it from her and tell her, "Give that to me!"
It's all yours. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. I wash my hands of this.
You can't leave so fast. What do you know?
Open the envelope and see for yourself, Black.
You looked in the envelope?
I don't need to look to know. I don't need to see to see.
So what will I find in the envelope? How much more are you not telling me?
I know nothing, and yet I know everything. Events are hurtling forward into increasing states of insanity. The placid surface of our lives is about to be exposed as a dream that will erupt into violent nightmare. Open the envelope and see for yourself. Or don't open it. It matters not now that we're on this unwavering path.
I should kill you first.
Then you'd know not what I can tell you about Mr. Gray.
Mr. Gray. Of course it would lead back to Mr. Gray. Driving into town after 15 years, asking for a room at a certain hotel. And now he's in his room, and he hears a knock on the door.
Who is it?
Can you let me in?
Why should I?
Come on, I'll make it worth your while.
Okay. I shouldn't, but I will.
Naughty boy, are we? Do you like?
Who sent you?
No one sent me. I saw you in the lobby, and I thought maybe you needed something. And I needed something. You and me make...
Oui.
As in how the French say, yes. Oui, mon bon ami. Vous faites l'amour pour moi. Levant et l'arrière.
Cut the funny talk, Toots. Who sent you?
No one sent me. Why are you so suspicious? Don't be afraid of me. There. Isn't that better?
Mmm. I shouldn't be doing this.
How long has it been since you've made love?
What are you watching?
Room 619. Watching them get it on.
Mr. Gray lost no time, did he? After feeding that bullshit line that he doesn't believe in pleasure.
One can often act on impulses without believing in something or anything.
Of all the rundown hotels, why did he have to choose this one?
You would have to ask him, and even he may not know why.
I don't like it, his presence.
Relax and enjoy the show.
I can't relax. His arrival here has set things in motion. Mysterious envelopes under doors, the arrival of hitmen.
Hitmen?
Yes. A pair of them entered the lobby a moment ago. Didn't even stop the desk. They knew their destination.
How do you know they were hitmen?
They were obviously packing. Made no effort to hide it. Bad men with bad looks on their faces. The order has been disturbed by his arrival here. Just our luck. The maids will get overtime tonight, cleaning up the mess.
Who are they coming for? Mr. Gray? Mr. White?
We won't know that until it's too late. I did inform Mr. White.
Hitmen, the clerk just informed me.
Are they coming here?
We don't know that, Scarlet.
Have you opened the envelope, White?
Not yet. It's like I feel if I know what's inside, then they'll come for me. But if I don't, then there's a chance they won't. Or they'll make the hit so fast I won't even know it happened. One moment there, the next, nothing. That wouldn't be such a bad way to go. Out like a blink of the eyes.
But it won't be like that. They'll walk stealthily to the door of their target. They will squirt some acid in the lock to unlock the door. And then they will kick open the door with guns blasting. Both you and I will hear it before the bullets turn us into a carnival of carnage.
What are you doing? Get away from me, Scarlet.
And if we die making love, it will be a carnal carnival of carnage.
That's crazy shit. A sick thought.
And when they kick open the door, he leaps off the bed and pulls her with him behind the bed as the bullets rip apart the room. His gun out. Several quick shots at his assailants who drop with their brains exploded on the hallway behind them.
Like I said, overtime for the maids.
Would have been much better in color and with better sound. Maybe you could spring for new surveillance equipment.
That's his little brother.
The room cameras are not for your entertainment.
That's both of them. Let's see who we have here. The yellow kid and this other one.
That's his little brother. Stupid bastards. I can't believe they came here.
Come with me.
Can I put on some clothes?
Not enough time. There may be more where those two came from.
He grabs my hand and pulls me behind him, towards the door and the two dead hoods. Out the hallway, another couple of hitmen await. He slams me against the wall as the guns blast through the corridor. And then we're running down the hallway towards a pair of bloody corpses.
Let's find another room. This one. Get in there. Now, you talk. Who sent you?
Stop twisting my arm. I don't know anything.
Who are you working for?
I don't work for anyone but myself.
Everyone works for someone in this town. Who is it? Mr. Black? Mr. White? Goldman? Brown? Tell me the truth before I slap it out of that pretty face.
You have me all wrong, Gray. I had you as a mark. A quick fuck to make a buck. That's all it was meant to be. It was all you meant to me. Maybe I should have just asked you why you chose this hotel.
I let her drop back onto the mattress like a broken doll, and I sit down in the chair. She makes implications, and I'm at a loss. I close my eyes, and the time goes back to when I drive into town. What was I thinking as I took a certain exit, headed down an almost familiar street, and then another, without even thinking, as I had done countless times 15 years earlier? And everything in the city was different, except this hotel on this street.
Mr. White, two of your gunmen are dead in the hallway upstairs.
They heard gunshots. They went to investigate. More are on their way.
Then the madness has begun.
Don't blame me. I'm just reacting.
Then who?
Mr. Black, of course. It has to be him. He has brought Gray back to turn the balance against me.
But you don't know that for sure, do you?
Nothing is certain in this world unless we make it for certain. And if we don't create our reality, then others will create it for us.
And yet you haven't looked in the envelope. You don't even know what's going on. You are lost. We are all lost and trapped on this destined path. And then this door will lead me into a back corridor.
Scarlet, where'd you go? She has deserted me in my desperate hour. Maybe I'm too old for this. I'm tired and weary, and I have no answers, except more men.
I think I've died. Scarlet!
Guns are not the problem. It's the ones who carry them.
Who are they working for? Mr. Black? Mr. White?
Maybe even Mr. Gray. We need to wait, stay out of the way, and see where the chips fall.
You mean where the bodies fall?
I hoped we'd seen enough of that tonight. Mr. Black, don't look at me. This wasn't my idea. I only do what I have to protect my own interests.
Or what you define as your interests. You can always walk away, go to some distant place, and pretend this is all a dream.
Not a dream, more like a nightmare at the moment. It does not comfort me that even you consider it as such. One must hope it ends before it begins, but it's too late for that, I suppose.
It's not too late to look in the envelope, Black.
It would not make any difference. Actions have been set in motion. I am here, and Mr. White is upstairs, and...
More death. Guns have their own language as they speak to each other in this lobby. They bark to each other. One word. Death. Death, death, death. I much prefer the music of birds, but all the birds have flown.
Not all. The carrion scavengers hover far above the roof of this tower.
Another way out. A passage illuminated by a few. Who goes there? Put up your hands.
It's just me, Mr. Gray. You remember me.
Scarlet. It's been a long time.
And I wish that it were longer or not at all. Not that I don't want to see you again, because you know I do. And yet your arrival has precipitated a series of events that have escalated beyond anyone's control.
We never really have control of a situation, even when we think we do.
Like now, to see you again, and to want you, and yet... To hell with all that. To hell with Mr. White. And what's not known in the envelope. Let's do it here, in the stairwell, you and me, to lose oneself.
I missed you in the long absence. We opened these doors that were shut closed a lifetime ago.
a respite from the fear and madness. Although we are older, the puzzle pieces fit together and bring the sweet breath of our youth back into our lungs and loins. And then in creeps the tendrils of regret.
You must tell me, Scarlet, who's trying to kill me?
Why did you return, Gray? Not for this dalliance with me.
Must everything have a reason?
Why this hotel? Why now?
I really don't know. I can't explain.
You were not summoned by Mr. Black or Mr. White? Mr. Brown, or the Yellow Kid?
Nothing of the sort. In fact, the Yellow Kid tried to kill me. He's dead in the hallway above.
And yet someone thought you were summoned. Everyone tries to second guess. And now, can you not hear the harsh, empty chatter of the guns? They speak not words, but death.
This room, the hot bite of lead. I need to find a way out.
No more exits, Mr. White, except the final one.
Ms. Green, Mr. Black sent you?
I don't know. He dared not to open the envelope.
Then why are you here? We can find a way out together. I will make it worth your while.
Me and you? I think not. You fancy yourself a man of importance with your flowery talk and expensive threads, but look how pathetic you are in your delusion. Grasping at the least straws to think Mr. Black feared you.
Black feared me? Then why did I fear him?
Because you both pretended to be what you are not. You were afraid to be exposed. Frightened children playing at gang bosses to hide their insecurities with your grand talk and your nice clothes. But it doesn't matter anymore. You are nothing. You are nothing but children playing at a game you don't understand. And now you are dead.
The hot bite of lead, to feel one's life ebb out of a bullet hole in one's chest, and to try to hold it in, and you realize there's nothing there. You are nothing, and you were nothing, and now you cease to exist. As useless memories regurgitated from the darkness, to burst in your head and then nothing. Nothing more. All white like snow blindness. Is this heaven or is this hell? The whiteness that burns everything that was.
Mr. White.
Mr. White, too. And the Yellow Kid and too many others. But look, Mr. Black runs down the hall. A bullet hits him in the head. A look of surprise on his face as he falls over. He did not think this would happen to him.
They never do. unless they do all the time. And those who think this will happen, it never does happen to them. Oh well, Mr. Black too. We need several more maids tonight.
Mr. Black lies on the floor, dying and thinking.
What is happening to me? Am I really dying? Is it over? Why does everything go black? My thoughts, my soul. Like a broken television, it all goes to black.
Hello?
Nothing but an inky sea of nothingness. Blacker than the deepest anuses of outer space. I am lost. All is darkness.
And Mr. Gray stumbles away down a back alley. He tries to rub the visions of death from his face. He really didn't know why he came, but he knows why he must leave.
Hello, Violet. What are you doing here amidst all this ugliness and death?
I wanted to get away. I thought I could find a ticket out of this city.
A ticket away from the yellow kid?
Yes, but he knew that I came here. He came here to kill me, poisoned by his jealousy. He came here with his brother Lemon, but Gray killed them both.
The yellow kid wasn't working for anyone?
No, he was merely working against himself, contorted by his jealousy and his obsession with me.
And Mr. White thought Black or Mr. Brown was making a move against him, and they thought the same. What madness has this all become? Useless deaths.
Every death is useless unless they are martyred.
Absolutely.
time is out of joint, and I am out of this joint before my time is out.
Hello, Gray. Did you want to head of this joint?
Miss Green? Sure, hand it over. Now it's a bus ride out of here for me. I don't even trust my car.
It's not the car I would not trust, but the persons who would shoot at you leaving in it, if they haven't rigged a bomb underneath its belly.
Right you are, Olive Green. And this is how this ends.
And that is how it ends. This radio theater play is over. And that is why I will now tell you that you have been listening to the audio drama
The Return of Mr. Gray, written and produced by Rolf Semperbon and performed by
Sam Spade,
Kristen,
Rolf,
Larry,
Becky Myers,
Jean-Paul South,
Pinocchio.
All right. That's good.
Very good.
Splendid, splendid.
I changed his mind. Whoop.
Marvelous. Lovely, lovely. No. How are you?
Very good, my dear.
Okay. Not to wait a month. Right. First of all. Splendid, splendid. Whoop. Marvelous. Lovely, lovely. No. How are you?
Very good, my dear.
Okay. Right.
So I leave you alone for 30 seconds and elope with a younger man.
Splendid. Splendid.
We close. Boom.
Marvelous. Lovely, lovely. No. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Not too late, am I? Right.
What you got there?
First of all.
Little surprise.
Splendid. Splendid.
What you got there?
Little surprise.
Marvelous. Lovely,
Mama.
Lovely. No.
You didn't hear anything.
What you got there?
Little surprise.
So leave me alone for 30
right.
seconds and you elope.
First of all, splendid. Splendid. Whoop. Marvelous. Lovely, lovely. No.
Not too late, am I?
Right. First of all,
not too late, am I?
And I don't know.
Splendid. Splendid.
Went over a thousand times my son.
Marvelous. Lovely,
it's
lovely.
Gone crazy. Go. Close in 2 months.
Are you very good? Very good. Okay. Right. Splendid. Splendid.
For primitive beings like us, life seems to have only one single purpose, gaining time. And it is going through time seems to be also the only real purpose of each of the cells in our body. To achieve that aim, the mass of the cells that make up earthworms and human beings has only two solutions, be immortal or to reproduce. Knowledge and learning are handed down through time.
We close in 2 minutes. So I leave you alone for 30 seconds and you elope with a younger man.
Steve,
we close in 2 minutes.
has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
And if you want to listen to this program again or other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
And we'll see you next month when the Ubu Hour brings you...
We close in 2 minutes.
Nine!
Stop your waiting, huh? I'll leave you alone for 30 seconds. Close the door to the young man.
Not too late, Emma.
We'll be closing 2 minutes.
Not too late, Emma.
We'll be closing 2 minutes.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Matt Dishman Community Center annual block party on Saturday, August 8th from noon to 4 p.m. This family-friendly event will include barbecue grub, live music and a DJ, activities for kids, family swim in the pool, local vendors, and more. Again, that's the Matt Dishman Community Center annual block party on Saturday, August 8th from noon to 4 p.m. at Matt Dishman Community Center, 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Festicide, a 3-day anti-festival taking place